Morning.
Morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way. And we are excited that you're here today with your smiling faces and your Bibles open up. And we encourage people to come and join us if they can. If not, you can listen to us on our YouTube channel or www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. And but we'd love to have everybody here, wouldn't we, guys and gals?
Amen.
But we're going to continue our lessons today. We're in lesson 18. And as we know that that when you study the Word of God, rightly divided, God made a distinction between prophecy and mystery. The prophecy program has to deal with the earth. The mystery program has to deal with the heavenlies. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I am so glad I didn't hear no S's. Heavens. That's an era. He created the heaven and earth. Later on, the heavens was divided and corrupt with Satan has fallen all. But as we continue our lessons in prophecy and mystery, there's a lot of things that you can study the Word of God. Now, this is a contrast. I said it 100 times. My Bible has no contradictions in it. Does your Bible have any contradiction? No. But they have contrasts. And what's a contrast? Opposites. That's all it is. And when you understand that and rightly divide the word of truth, then you can understand what is that? How do you rightly divide the word of truth? Is that truth against error? We do that anywhere, right? It's truth against what? Truth. It's truth in your Bible from cover to cover. Are there any errors in your Bible? So it's truth. So you got to rightly divide the word of truth. And we know how to do it through the ministry of Apostle Paul. He's the only one that tells us that. The only way. Go to 2 Timothy. Hold your finger there in Matthew. 2 Timothy. What's the verse I'm going to, guys? 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, we have a saying at Dispensational Bible Church. We study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, the Bible's own way. The Bible has a way of rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says,
study.
That's the first thing you do. You got to study. And many of you are like, man, I didn't want to study in school. Now you're going to tell me to study? I didn't tell you. God told you, study to show thyself, not me, approved unto who? God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me ask you something. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You think people's going to be ashamed in front of God? Why?
Fear.
They wasn't fear or not a workman. They wasn't a workman. A workman. You had to work at this. You had to work at studying it. It just don't fall in your lap. You know, many of you are young to this. Many of you are old to this. And you know, even the elders that we have that's been studying the Word of God, it still don't come easy. And, you know, I shared this before many lessons. We could do this, but we'll go through these contrasts. And 3 months later, we could go back through them and we'll say, oh, wow, I didn't see that. And you probably know some people as you're teaching somebody and you show them, say, do you know that the princes of this world have not known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory? And you share that with somebody like, what? You know, if Satan had known what this mystery program has produced, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you're like, what Bible did you get that from? And it's right in there. So go back to Matthew. When we study about the, I just want to show you about rightly dividing word of truth. It's truth of God's Word. And God is dispensing. That's what dispensationalists, that's why we chose the word name Dispensational Bible Church. I remember sister Julie mentioned when we changed it, we used to be called Canton Grace Fellowship. And when it was Canton Grace Fellowship, there was a Grace Fellowship down the road there. There's a Canton Grace over here. And everybody, we had a radio program, and we was like, where's people call us, but they're not showing up. Well, they was going these other places thinking it was us. So we said, we'll change our name to Dispensational Bible Church. Now, when I went to change the checking account, if you will, she's like, dispens, huh? What? And guess what that made me do?
Gave
me an opportunity to share what dispensational is. I even had, now that's five syllables. And that's a lot to say, you know. But the thing is, when you got a chance to share that, and Sister Julie was like, did you do it to share, show what, how you, or, you know, what you teach here? I said, exactly. So it gives us an opportunity to share dispensational truth. I believe God is a dispensationalist. And we talk about that all the time. The way he dealt with Adam is different than he dealt with Abraham. The way he dealt with Abraham, Moses, is different from Adam. That type of thing. He didn't change. Because people tell you, you dispensationalists, you think God's changed. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow. He hasn't changed, but the way he's dealt with man has changed. You've seen how he's dealt with his child, Israel. I brought you on eagle's wings. But we want a king. We want a judges. We want, okay, I'll give it to you. But this is what I want to do for you. And he spanked them around a little bit. But in a prophetic program in lesson 18, Peter and company had the gospel of the circumcision committed unto them to proclaim the good news to Israel, convenient covenant in kingdom and blessings. Okay? They have a covenant in the kingdom and the blessings. With me? Now, they're proclaiming the good news, and we look at this all the time. This up here is Israel. Now, who was Israel? What made them a distinction between the Gentiles down here? Not only that, they had a circumcision. The gospel of the circumcision, the good news to the circumcision. That's up here. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We've looked at this verse several times. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. You know what verse 5 says. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter in. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely what?
Given.
So here's a good news to the circumcision. Not the uncircumcision. Don't you go down there to them Gentile dogs. Don't you go to them half-breed Samaritans, what it was, half-Jew, half-Gentiles. Don't you go down there. You stay. The good news goes to who? The circumcision. And what are they going to do? Heal the sick. Now, why would you want to heal the sick? Why would you want to cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out devils? Freely have you received, freely give. Why would you want to do that? Not in the power of God, but why? What are we talking about here? The good news of the
kingdom.
You're not going into that kingdom, or they're not going that kingdom sick. They're not going to do it. But you see out here, people's got plenty of kingdoms. You go to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, you're going to get sick? People go sick, get sick all the time. How about the kingdom of Israel right now? How's that working out? Yeah. And then there's churches built on that philosophy. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. What do you know about Galatia? You know, should know a lot about Galatia. It's a book of what? If Romans is a book of doctrine, and Romans is a book of doctrine, then Corinthians is a book of reproof. What is God through Paul reproofing the Corinthians about? Their behavior. Then Galatians is a book of correction. What is gone through Paul correcting the Corinthians about?
You mean the Galatians?
Yeah, Galatians about. Their behavior, yes. They're doing, they knew, but their behavior was dissing. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and don't ever forget this. If you took Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to be turning to Acts 15 shortly, they go hand in hand. Galatians chapter, Acts chapter 15 is the reason why Galatians chapter 2 is written. You go to Galatians chapter 2, and Paul's talking about in 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And he goes down through there to verse 6. Verse 7. But contrarywise, we'll read this again shortly in a little bit, okay? So I'm jumping this. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, was committed unto me. Who's writing this?
Paul.
Paul's penning. As the gospel of the circumcision was to who? For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the who? So you got these right here. Paul's talking about the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. Who had the circumcision gospel? Peter and who? The 12, okay? By the way, let me ask you this. Who was the leader of the Jewish church then? The Jewish church. No, one of the apostles.
James.
James was the leader of church, but who gets all the...
Peter.
He uses Peter more than he used James, but James was the leader of the church.
Really?
Yes, James was. Now look. Go to Genesis chapter 17. He uses.
Genesis 17.
Well, got another saying. Let your fingers do the walking, but God's word does the talking. Okay. Genesis 17. Y'all remember that old little thing about Yellow Pages, right? Mm-hmm. I guess that was worldwide. Well, when's the last time you opened up the Yellow Pages? You can probably get one. Genesis 17, verse 9. 17:9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And in the eighth day, And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that born in the house or bought with the money of a stranger, which is not thy seed. Now you got to know, well, hold your finger. Well, let me finish this thought real quick. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs. That's important, isn't it? Must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in their flesh for an everlasting covenant. That's what that covenant is. When we look at a Jew, which you shouldn't be looking at him, Israelite, he's circumcised in the flesh. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now let me ask you something. Why 8 days? Is it Leviticus chapter 12? Yeah. Go to Leviticus chapter 12. Today, in this day's world, they give a child, a male child, a shot of vitamin K. You know what that vitamin K does? Slows down the bleeding so they can circumcise them. If you wait 8 days, you don't bleed. But Leviticus chapter 12 and the Lord, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean, what?
7 days.
According to the days of separation for her infirmities shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day of the flesh, his foreskin shall be what? That's why. You don't touch the child for 7 days because the mother's unclean. But what do you know about, go to Acts 15. What do you know about the number 8? What does it mean? Remember? It's a new day. It's a new creation on the 8th day. Okay? That's something brand new, okay? And that's why this, when this circumcision came along, it's brand new. Go to look at Acts 15. Acts 15. So that circumcision is very important. You agree or disagree? Okay. For who? Abraham's seed and thy seed for a generation forever. Acts chapter 15. What did I say about Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2?
You said that's the reason Galatians 2 is written because of
Acts 15. So why would, and we'll get back, we're going to Galatians 2 when we go in the mystery program, but think about this for a second. That's right in your foot. Barb's throwing something at me. Get to that page. Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of who?
Moses.
Ye cannot be what? Is that important? Now, these Israelites are coming down there from Judea and saying, unless you circumcise after the manner of Moses. And by the way, do you know what Deuteronomy is? It's what? The fifth book. And it's also known as the second giving of the law. What did Joshua do with everybody that came out of that? Everybody that was 20 years old and older that left Egypt, if I'm not mistaken, did not go in that promised land. They died off. So they had a new group of new people come along. What did Joshua do? He circumcised. Very, very important. Moses' wife, Zipporah, she heard an angel talking to Moses. And he said, unless these people are circumcised, they're going to die. And what does she do? She had a bloody husband, that type of thing. You know, the children bloody. Because she heard that angel say, that child's going to be cut off. It's going to die. So it's very, very important. So what did they do? Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Then it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. That's why they go to Galatia. Well, they go to Jerusalem. They don't go to Galatia. He writes about the Galatians. And let's see. Go to Acts 10. You know, you got people today will stand on that verse unless you be circumcised. They won't say so much circumcision. They'll say baptism. They'll say tithing. They say church membership. You fill in the blank. Unless you do this, you cannot be saved.
So why do these circumcised children
cost? I heard it was $800. Now that's just me, you know. Well, that, you know, what it's a purpose of prayer, but why do they send children home with a little bit of Hebrew blanket? You ever notice that? Do they still do that?
The white blanket with the blue.
The blue stripes and stuff? Y'all never seen that? Must be.
I've seen it, but I never know what it
is. Yeah, they, you know, the baby's cuddled and, you know.
It's a white blanket with blue.
Yeah, it's almost like the blue Hebrew, little Hebrew blanket that Moses was in.
So
but
what you're saying, everything
that is usually not good because we're not part of that circumcision.
And today, most of the people don't have a clue.
They had no clue. You know.
Little Christmas, I never heard.
But think about this for a second. Where am I going with this? So Moses was circumcised. The people coming down, unless you circumcise the manner of Moses, you know, and that was a big thing because Paul's out there preaching the gospel, not the same gospel Peter now is preaching. Now, the world will say, Paul just continued world religion, continue because Peter was told not to go no further, so Paul's taking the gospel of the circumcision out there. You know, you probably heard that. If you look at any, let me say this for those that are listening. If you want to know what the church a church preaches, one, you get their doctrinal statement, and you look at it. Two, you don't ask the preacher. You ask the people in there. What does your preacher preach about Jesus Christ? Does he preach Jesus Christ according to Revelation of Mystery? Or does he preach Jesus Christ according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Some of you sniggering because you know what you've been through. And you bought into it wholeheartedly. So Acts chapter 10, Peter's there. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Now, what is this? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Oh, a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, you can also find that in Romans chapter 11. You can also find that in Deuteronomy chapter 10, that God is not a respecter of what? So what makes him respect you more than me? Well, he would the body of Christ he would probably respect, but not a person. We talked about things going on. You know, he don't respect her more than he respect me. That's what I'm saying. That's what Peter said too, right? But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's different from Romans 4:4. The word which God sent unto the children of who? Israel. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And the word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which who? John preached. Now what did he preach?
Be baptized.
Repent, be baptized from what?
Into the kingdom.
Okay. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's a man sent from God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and of the devil, for God was with him. Did he not do that? Yes. And we are witnesses of all things which he had done, both in the land of Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people. You should underline that. What did he say? This blood is shed for many in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 28, he goes, for this blood is shed for many. Not to all people, but unto the witness chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. That's what he's talking about. And he commanded who?
Us.
Now who's that us?
Peter.
That's right. You should underline that and have a little 12 out there and say that's who he's talking to. Remember when we looked at those who, how they chose Matthias? He had to be from the baptism of John and witness these things. And preach unto the people. Who's the people? Israel. Very good. Israel. And to testify that as he was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, to him give all the prophets witnesses, though through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which he heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed was astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the who? The Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbade water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed that they him to tarry certain days. Water is very, very important there. The Word of God is very important there, right? And he's like, why didn't Peter just say, hey, that's it, guys. These Gentiles out there received the Word of God with all readiness, and we're going to praise God, and we're not going to circumcise anymore. We're not going to baptize anymore. We're going to do something different. That don't sound all right, does it? You know, what did they do in Acts chapter 2 when he says, you know, what shall we do when Peter stood up there? What shall we do? You heard the one about the preacher out there just loved his church, an old-timey preacher. And he just loved his church to death. He walked out there one day, and the church needed a new coat of paint. And he went to the store and bought a gallon of paint. And he finished one side of that paint, well, that wall, right? And it looked beautiful. But he saw that he only had a half a gallon. So he says, I've got three more walls to do. So he went to the store and bought, instead of buying more paint, he bought paint thinner. And he paint, you know, made a gallon, more gallon out of it. And he finished that other three walls, right? And he's like excited what he did and all. Got up next morning, had rain. He looked outside, and that side that he painted with half a gallon, beautiful. The other side was run off. And he looked up to heaven and said, what shall I do? And a voice came from heaven and said, repaint and thin no more. You know, so when you think about that, you know, they're looking for things. Repent, you know, that type of thing, you know. So you think about that for a second. What was the message? Repent and be baptized. That's part of that Israel program, the good news to Israel, the covenant, kingdom, and blessings. That's how they got into it. Now, the contrast. Au contraire, go to Galatians chapter 2 again. Well, Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision committed unto him the good news. Now, what does gospel mean? That's all it means. A lot of people say it's God's spelling, that type of thing. It's good news. You can find that in Isaiah 60 when he says the good tidings. And he comes to, you know, Lord Jesus Christ is teaching good news. And the good news of God now being long-suffering towards all to accomplish a secret purpose. You know, Apostle Paul is, you ever heard that secret agent, man? That song, secret agent. Paul was a secret agent. Not known. There's a lot of secret agents out there amongst us. We don't have to, we're supposed to be faithful to tell a secret not keep a secret. Now we can be faithful to tell a secret. And he to accomplish a secret purpose. Galatians chapter 2. We read a lot of it down when I mentioned that, but look, go to back to verse 3 again. When he says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, what did we read about Acts 15? Unless you're circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. What does Paul do? He takes Titus, the Greek, not circumcised, right in there in Jerusalem. And he says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in and came in privately despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? They're looking through that window at Paul and Titus and Peter, James, and John and saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? We need to bring them back into what? Bondage. When you go back under that law system, when you go back under that prophecy program that belongs to Israel, you go back into bondage. And what more and more that these show business, spiritual show business preachers love to do is put you under their thumb and force you into a program that you have no business in. And you're like, but God's full of love. God's doing this in there. God, all the music was so great. The people were so great. Well, what did he preach about? I don't know, but it was so great. I just felt so good. That's you forcing your spirit. Now, you can be saved, but unless you get this doctrine inside of you, it don't move you the way God wants you to move. You get the right doctrine inside that inner man and then that soul that God gave you and that spirit, it's going to make you not invincible, but it's going to make you move the way you should move, a very responsible person. And he says, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. They didn't give them no time. Here's Paul, convinced that this gospel's right. He takes Titus not to be circumcised. Now, Timothy was probably circumcised. But Titus wasn't, being a Greek. And you know who Titus is. They wrote a book about him. He says, and he takes him in there and did give him, but of these who seem to be somewhat. Now, who's he talking about there? Yeah, these somewhat. Man, what does it say? But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they ought were, it make no matter to me. God accept no man's what? Ooh, that's something else. God don't accept you as a person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Can you imagine going there? And you're sitting there, and say Peter, James, and John discussing this circumcision and doing this and doing that, and you're sitting back there and you're like, okay, you guys ain't had nothing to me. But au contraire, look at verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision to Peter, this is a difference here. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, it's huge. Now, think about it just for a second. He's sitting there, and he's like, now, let me ask you something. You know Paul's pedigree, the Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. You know, yeah, he had the pedigree probably better than any of that fisherman had. For he that wrought effectively in Peter into apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. When, here we go, three names. When James, Cephas, and John, who's Cephas? You notice who he put first? Okay, not only that, but when you go over here in the Hebrew epistles, the first book in the Hebrew epistles is what? Hebrews, then what? James, then what? Peter, then what? John. Is that a coincidence, or is that God's work in His Word showing you how to lay things out? This wasn't, was it?
I think
it was. Well, it's Acts 15:13. Hold it. 15. Acts 15:13. Well, it just says, after that, held their peace. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto the word." So he stands up and speaks. But there was a James that gets his head cut off here. Okay? And I don't think that wasn't Jesus' brother. But anyway, let's move on forward a little bit. I just want to show you, James stood up in Acts 15 after they talked. He stood up and said, "Men and brethren," he took the leadership and to run that meeting. Where am I at? And when James... And back at Galatians 2:9. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, I'm thinking, what was wrong with them that they wasn't pillars? They seemed to be pillars. I'm going to have to look that word up more closely.
It seems like Paul's not going to put anybody on the pedestal.
Okay. And to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they should go into the heathen, excuse me, that we should go into the who?
Heathen,
and they into the circumcision. Only they which that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now why? Okay, well, a couple things there before we move on. He's the grace giver, right?
Who?
Paul. Okay. They agreed. They shook hands. Did they not? The right hand of fellowship. What did God, through Lord Jesus Christ, commit to Peter and them? What you bound on earth is bound in heaven. What you let loose on earth is let loose in heaven. Okay? He gave them the power. So when Peter and Paul shook hands, they got the right hand of fellowship, that great commission that you say you're a part of went out of commission right there, right there. Now, who is Paul to go to? Now, who is Peter now to go to? Now, let me ask you something. Those that followed Peter, James, and John and them, they're part of that little flock, that circumcision church. What about the ones that didn't? They're heathens. That's when they started to fall, Acts. By Acts 28, they're down here with everybody. We looked at that a couple lessons ago. Not only did they stumble, that they fall. Not only they fall, they diminish. Not only they finish, God cast them away. Okay? They're down here. The lost ones, are they still circumcised? Peter and them didn't go to them. See, a lot of people said, Peter and them continued that gospel or the kingdom church on through here. That's not true after this, after Acts 15. They didn't continue that. What they did, they backed up and wrote James. They wrote Hebrews. They wrote James. They wrote John. They wrote Peter. And if you think about what it's writing about that time period over here. Did not Peter say the things that Paul wrote among you are hard for you to understand? Wouldn't that be hard to understand after thousands and thousands of years being told you're up here, you got God's word, circumcision means something, and all of a sudden somebody says, "You're lost." Why did Paul go to seminaries? His custom was, they had the Word of God. They was lost. Just the same as he went out there on a stump somewhere. So look, but to remember the what? Didn't Paul say take up an offering the first day of the week? first day of week? Didn't he? Why? He didn't want that going on when the church was taken. And what did he do with that money? He bought him a chariot with golden wheels. He took and gave it to poor saints in Jerusalem. Why? That economy, back there in Acts chapter 2, they gave everything to the apostles. The apostles went like this. You need it? That economy went bankrupt. Why? The kingdom's postponed. Now if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. But keep going. Look, Galatians chapter 5 right quick. Galatians 5. I've got a few more and we're out of here.
You can do this all day.
I know. I really could. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Part of the same secret purpose that accomplished now long-suffering. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein with Christ had made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that yoke of bondage?
The law,
the circumcision. Going back under that. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you everything in the world.
Nothing.
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the what? The whole law. It profits you what? Nothing. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. verse 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show of in the flesh, that they constrained you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may what? Glory in the flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is circumcised unto who? Me, and I am to the world. He's got a message about the cross, and that's where you're circumcised at. He circumcised you with a spiritual circumcision. Hey, if there's a spiritual baptism, why ain't there a spiritual circumcision? Yes. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a what? Not born again. When he when that identification, when Christ died, his death became your death. Your burial, his burial became your burial. His resurrection became your resurrection. So everything availeth everything. Go to back to chapter 5, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are of you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. For we are through the Spirit wait for the hope of the resurrection by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What's going on here? They got them Judaizers coming in there, and that's why this is a behavior book, correcting their behavior. Paul is saying, hey, you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else, and you got these Judaizers coming over saying you got to be circumcised in the manner of Moses, and this type of thing. And he goes, you was running well. Who's hindering you? Because you know what? They say, hey, maybe we should go back. Maybe we should be circumcised. You know, they're going back under a Jewish custom. And what does it say? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who brought them into the gospel? Did Paul persuade them to do this? He said, look at this. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Just a little bit of that.
Just a little bit of law, you got to follow the whole law. Well, you just read it.
Yeah, it just blowed it up. Just a little. Now, I know some people like leaven. Leaven makes things rise, don't it? Blows it up. You know? But just a little bit. Just a little bit. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, this is Paul saying, if I preach this circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? He goes, then is the offense of the cross cease. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. That's discouraging. You build this church up and all of a sudden somebody's coming in and saying you got to do this and doing that and it's troubling you. I'd soon prefer them to be cut off. That's what he's saying. So, did not preach circumcision. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
God is not dealing with circumcision and uncircumcision today. He's dealing with those in Adam or those in Christ. Those are lost, those are saved. He has reconciled both Jew and Gentile in Christ. In the dispensation of grace, in the mystery program, that's heavenly program, everybody's down here on even ground. We're not up here. That's what a lot of people want to do. They want to say, well, we need to, when you get saved, we elevate you up back up here and make you spiritual Jews. That's nonsense. There ain't no such thing as a spiritual Jew. You spiritualize with spiritual eyes, and therefore you're going to tell spiritual what? Lies. It's spiritual show business that people gets up and convince you that you have to go back under this program. Isn't it great to stand fast in the liberty with where Christ has made us free? We're free. Take R out of free, what does it mean? Fee. They will charge you for the gospel. You have it freely. Freely give as you freely receive.
You're under bondage.
Big time. So think about that today as we learn about Peter's circumcision and the 12, what they did. And many of you know that. That's over here. Circumcision of the gospel. That's good news, by the way. That's good news. It had to set them apart. And if the Lord brought in the kingdom program, they'd been right in there, that program with them. But he's postponed that kingdom program through Apostle Paul. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And Lord, as we continue to think about the world that we live in, Lord, as we know that the things are coming down the pike and the things are coming down the streets and things are just coming at us with all ways and means, the darts are flying. But we know that we can stand and withstand the evil days. We know that we have a gospel to make us strong. Let us be faithful in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.